Good morning. So did you guys catch that statistic at the beginning? What percentage of Americans attend church on a regular basis? 17, right. And that percentage is increasing or decreasing? Decreasing. So, yes, church attendance is declining. Every day, 10 new churches are started in the United States. So every day, in fact, actually, it's 11 new churches. Every day, 11 new churches in our country are started. However, every day, 10 churches in our country shut its doors. So you have 11 new churches starting every day. You have 10 churches every day shutting their doors. And because church plants that start typically are small, we're not planting churches fast enough to counteract not only the number of churches that are closing, but also the overall decline in church attendance in our country. And I had an opportunity earlier this year to do some research on church planting organizations. And there are entire networks within our country that have the sole purpose of helping plant churches. And what they suggest is that every church should be planting a new church every 3 to 5 years. And that new church should be planting new churches so we can continue to see the multiplication of churches in our country. It is the concept of multiplication, or the concept that we've been talking about in this series, Be Fruitful and Multiply, a series on spiritual multiplication. So we've been doing this series on spiritual multiplication. We've talked about multiplication from an individual standpoint, that God's called all of us as individuals to multiply our spiritual DNA in others, to invest, to mentor, to really invest in others, people around us. We've talked about this from the family standpoint and how as we're trying to follow God as a family, we also want to be investing in other families, multiplying ourselves as families into other families. Last week, we talked about the extended family. This is a group of maybe 20 to 50 people made up of perhaps relatives and non-relatives who have a common vision and a goal of being involved in God's mission, a family on mission, an extended family on mission. And today we talk about multiplication from the vantage point of the church. God wants churches to be fruitful and multiply. So healthy churches multiplying healthy churches. Now I have some friends that have started churches in the past. I have some friends that have said, you know, I really feel like a calling on my life to start a church. And typically the conventional way of starting a church is you go in a specific geographic area, you start gathering some people, you set up a service, and you try to bring people to the service and establish a church. There are other church planting ways that are emerging, however, in our country, and I think they have direct application to Grace Gathering. And so I want to talk about that with you this morning. So if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to open it to Acts chapter 2. And I want to accomplish four things this morning in our message. One, I want to talk about a shift that's taking place in the American church. I alluded to it last week. We'll develop that a little bit more. I want to communicate where Grace fits in this shift. Then I want to look at some biblical principles. And then I want to talk about how Grace is plan to multiply itself in the future looks like. So let's first talk about a shift that's taking place in the American church. And it begins with what we'll call phase one, which is called the attractional church. Now, this is the conventional way most churches are organized and the model that most churches follow. It is simply this. The goal is to get everybody at the church service so that people can grow by attending the church service. They hear from God, they worship, they receive some teaching, and we grow by becoming a part of a growing church. And so all throughout the week, we're trying to engage with people and invite them to church. And the way we measure success is by if the church is numerically growing. So that is the conventional way we operate in the American church with regard to our model. Everyone come is the model there. So we go to phase two, and what takes place in phase two is that we begin to realize that church attendance is declining. People are attending church far less today than they did before. So only 17% of people are attending church. So rather than trying to get everyone to come to us, we say, what if we tried to go to them? What if we actually took the gospel and took the church to where the people are at? And maybe that's even more like the way Jesus did it anyway. Because certainly when he was walking the earth, he wasn't trying to gather together a bunch of people to establish some large gathering. Rather, he was training his disciples to be missionaries to the very places where they live and interact. And so churches are transitioning now away from being predominantly an attractional church to what we call a missional church. Mission is being sent. Everyone go. So rather than saying, let's try to get everybody here, how about let's equip you to go there? And this missional church transition is what thousands of churches in our country are trying to go after. And it's difficult because we've been trained, and in our church culture, it's been all about the centralized gathering and trying to get everyone in one building. And what happens is that when you send people and they begin being involved in missional activity in their neighborhoods and in other parts of the city to people maybe that would never darken the doors of a church, missional activity begins to emerge. You start to see people coming to Christ and being discipled. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily translate into maybe going across town to that centralized gathering. And so what ends up happening is you go to a multiple base church, which is basically one church that's saying, look, we got mission activity taking place all over the city. And rather than just having one centralized location where we're trying to get everybody to come to, let's see the activity where it's located and let's plant a gathering there so that they can have some opportunity to be trained and so forth. And so where do we sit, Grace Gathering, in this transition from phase one, attractional, to phase two, to missional, to phase three, multiple base? Well, for the most part, Grace has been an attractional church. Not in a bad way. It's just, it is what it is. It's the idea that we have services here, we have programs and ministries over the years that we've developed, and we encourage people, wherever you live in the city, to come here for the gathering. And we've seen many people come to Christ, a lot of spiritual growth. The last 5 years, we've said, let's be more intentional in our missional pursuit. Let's be involved in people's lives that would never come to a centralized gathering. And we've been intentional these last 5 years of having more of a sending type emphasis rather than come here type emphasis. And in that shift, we've developed vehicles like mission communities and extended families that are focused on neighborhoods or networks or certain geographic areas or different people types, and bringing the gospel and the church to them. And what ends up taking place is that when a church shifts from a mission, from a centralized focus or an attractional model to more of a missional model, a few things occur. And I know I'm being a little bit conceptual here, so I just want to acknowledge that, but just stay with me and hopefully you'll follow along with me as we go through this. So what takes place when a church wakes up and says, you know what, maybe success isn't how many people are in the building on Sunday. Maybe success is how many people are actually being more like Jesus in their everyday life and being involved in mission in their everyday life. Maybe it's their workplace. Maybe it's gathering together with some other believers in a different pocket of the city. Maybe that's more successful than just how many bodies are in a building. What ends up happening is that a church begins to almost overreact and give off the impression that a centralized gathering isn't important. And some people conclude, even, I don't even need a centralized gathering. And perhaps you've heard people say, I don't need the organized church. You know, where two or three people are gathered together, there is the church. And while that's true, it is an overreaction to suggest that the centralized gathering isn't important. And so what ends up happening as the church begins to shift and focus more on people going rather than coming, attendance begins to slip as well. And here's the reason why it slips. Let me give you three reasons why attendance slips during the transition from attraction to mission. Some prefer the church model of, hey, let's have all the programs here. Let's try to get everybody here on Sunday morning. Some people like that. And so when you begin shifting to saying, no, we're trying to all be missionaries and go, some people leave because they just don't like that type of a shift. Secondly, another reason why attendance begins to dip for a season is that you end up spending less time on the production side of Sunday morning. Because in an attractional church, you're gearing everything up for that Sunday morning. So you're spending a lot of time and energy and resource preparing for the Sunday morning gig. Because that is game time for the church. So there's just less attention on that production. And thirdly, people who are involved, I know many of you are involved on the front lines of mission. You are involved in interacting with people who don't go to church or who maybe are lost, the least, the disadvantaged, the marginalized. Many of you are doing this on an individual basis. Many of you are gathering together in extended families, mission communities that are doing this to some specific areas of our city. And because people get more involved in mission, they have less time to attend gatherings every single Sunday. And we've said here at Grace, look, don't feel like you need to be here every single Sunday if you're getting involved in people's lives and you're bringing mission to where people are at and it happens to be on a Sunday on occasion. That's mission. That's the church. And we've seen that some here. But what's important for us to realize is that as we shift as a church to being maybe really focused on attraction, to being really focused on missional, that we don't lose the idea that both the centralized gathering and the missional activity are important because it's grounded in Scripture. So if you look at Acts chapter 2, let's just read a few of these verses and see what takes place when Jesus starts his church in Acts chapter 2, that we see a transition from focus completely on the temple to also on missional activity all around the city. And so this says this in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So they gathered together every day at the temple. There's the centralized gathering. And they also broke bread in their homes. There's the missional activity that's decentralized all throughout the community in the city. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added their number daily, those who were being saved. And so you had a high focus on the temple, which was attractional. And all of a sudden, the Spirit is moving in all different areas, in all different ways. And so it wasn't as if everyone was just all about the temple. Now it was, they were meeting together in the temple, but they were also meeting together in homes. We talked about oikos last Sunday, extended families on mission together. As we work our way through the early church in the book of Acts, we see this phenomenon reoccurring. Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul in verses 20 and 21 says this. Says, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly in the gatherings, and I've taught you from house to house in the decentralized missional activity throughout the week. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And so we see that both the temple and from house to house was important. Both the gathered and the scattered. Both the organized and the organic. The centralized and the decentralized. The formal and the informal. The structured and the spontaneous. The bonfire and the torches. So many of you are torches during the week. And you're being a light to those around you. And we had this series that Tim did a few weeks ago on darkness and light. You're carrying the light. Many of you are gathering together with other believers, carrying that light. You're involved in mission. And while we're involved in mission, which is a very, very healthy thing, we also need to be coming back together at the bonfire, having our torches relit and strengthened. As we see throughout the early church in the book of Acts, the both and, not the either or. And what happens is that when churches transition from the attractional to the missional, it becomes an either or proposition. And that's not the direction that we feel God is taking us as a church. And so when people say things like, well, I don't need the organized church. I'm involved in mission on my own. We could read passages like Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Some of the purposes of why we're even here this morning, I mean, what was the reason why you came this morning? Well, obviously to worship God, but could you have worshiped God on your own? Of course you could have. What are some of the reasons why we gather together in a central location? Well, it's mutual encouragement. It's also accountability. We're not islands on our own. We're actually accountable to the leadership of the church. For training, we need to be trained. We need to be equipped. And fourthly, it's also in our culture, even though church is on the decline with regard to attendance, it's also an opportunity for us to bring guests to. So it's an opportunity that where seekers still at times are interested in coming to a church service. So you have friends and family and other people that you're interacting with, and it's advantageous to be able to have a place to invite them to while you're engaged with them. And so having a centralized gathering allows for that. And then celebration. I mean, we come here, we celebrate what God's doing. We hear stories. We receive teaching. It's just a time of great celebration. Let me read one other passage in the book of Acts that, again, this idea of both the organized, the formal, and the informal. And what we see in this particular passage is that when God's Spirit is spontaneously moving around among us, structure follows that spontaneity. So God does a work in a specific location, and then some structures built around that so that they can have both the gathered and the scattered example. So it says in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 28. So they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. So people were coming to Christ. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Let's go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church. So as people came to Christ, they established some structure, appointed some elders, and appointed them. By the time you get to toward the end there, it says, on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And so as God does a work in a network of people or in a geographic area, and God's Spirit's bringing exciting things. Structure follows that. We set up gatherings so that we can have a home base for that mission. And gatherings simply become a home base of mission. When you're an attractional church and everything is geared on trying to get people to the Sunday morning service, Sunday morning is game day. Okay? So we're preparing for game day all week. Prepare for game day. Sunday morning is game day. Okay? Try to get the people that you're interacting with to come here on Sunday. And the person that brings the most guests wins, right? Okay, we're going to bring some, so everything's about getting people here. It's game day. When you shift to a missional focus, and it's not about come, it's about go, Sunday morning isn't game day. Sunday morning is the halftime speech. It's like, I know you guys are really involved in mission this week, and I know you're interacting with people, and it's a war zone, and you're praying for people, and you're praying for people to be healed, and you're trying to communicate the gospel to people, you're trying to establish relationships, you're connecting with other believers, and you're involved in some network or neighborhood, and you're doing great work. Be encouraged. And this is the halftime speech. Now, when we leave here, let's get back in the game. So is Sunday morning game day? Or is Sunday morning the halftime speech? And so for Grace, are we involved in missional or are we involved in attractional? And there's actually a trick answer, and it's a trick question. Are we mainly attractional or mainly missional? The answer is both. We don't want to sacrifice one for the other because both have merit and value. We're just not going to focus exclusively on one over the other. And what has happened over the last few years, as many of you have been involved in mission, here's what's occurred. So you're involved in mission in a specific area. Let's say it's geographic. Let's say it's a neighborhood. And let's just say it's 20 miles away or 20 minutes away from here. You're involved in some mission activity. You're involved in reaching your neighbors or a school. And you're seeing some activity take place, and then you understand also that a centralized gathering is important as well. And what you end up doing is trying to talk them into driving across town to the gathering that you go to in order to come to church here at Grace. And some people actually are able to do that, but for others, it's more difficult. So let me give you an example. We have a lot of activity taking place downtown Fort Wayne. Some mission community taking place down there. Interacting with some people who live down there. Seeing some people come to Christ. Seeing some real traction take place in involvement of just seeing people change their lives. And over time, as they come to Christ, some of them actually travel all the way here on a Sunday morning to be a part of this gathering. Most of them don't. And so the question becomes, when you're involved in missional activity that's some distance away from the central location, do you end up having to compromise one of the two? You get deeper involved in mission. And so either you can say, okay, well, you know what? Let's just release those people and let's start a new church downtown. Or let's filter them into existing churches. Because if it's difficult for many of them to travel here, we know that it's important to have some type of opportunity for them to be a part of something larger in a gathering. And so some responses when missional activity is away from the centralized gathering. We can either try to convince them it's worth driving across town to attend here, or we can release them and say, you know what, there's a lot of activity happening there. Let's just release you and release the families at Grace that are doing mission activity there and let them start a church there. That's an option. Or the third option, which is phase three of what we talked about at the beginning, we start a base. So in other words, we don't say, yeah, we release you, go start your own church, try to gather people, do your own. I mean, we say, look, this is the families here involved are a part of Grace. Let's just start a gathering there. Look, we have two gatherings here on Sunday morning. What if we had one gathering here and one gathering in another location. That was helpful for the missional activity taking place there. Or what if we had two or three gatherings? So as we've had a number of people getting more involved in mission, these types of questions have emerged. I got an email this week as I was preparing this message, and here's what the email said. It was very interesting that this email came to me this week as I was preparing this message. It was from a family who left Grace a year ago. They had been here for 10 years, and they had commuted a lengthy distance. And this is what the email said. Yesterday had been a difficult day for us. Nearly 1 year ago, we made the decision to leave Grace Gathering. We believed that God was calling us back home, urging us to invest in our own community instead of driving nearly 1 hour outside of it. 30 minutes each way, I think it was. Maybe it was longer than that. I don't know. We knew our four children needed to begin connecting with friends who share their same convictions, desires, that they were involved with everyday life. It all seemed to make so much sense to us. We had spent 10 years in our church community and invested so little of ourselves into the streets where we actually lived and played and worked. But as we sat in the pews yesterday, listening to a message that was drawing us backwards rather than forwards, I began constructing an email in my head to our former leadership at Grace with very few words. And here were the words. Dear Grace Gathering, thank you for ruining us. That's it. Thank you for ruining us. I leaned over and whispered those words on Sunday morning at the service to my spouse's ear, providing sort of a comic relief that we both desperately needed. But we knew those words were true. We'd been ruined in a good way by Grace. And then just a few bullet points. We'd seen, number one, we'd seen an idea of community that requires vulnerability and brokenness. Number two, we had experienced a pursuit of God that allowed for passionate questioning and intensive study. Number three, we had discovered that true worship should never just happen during the Sunday hour. Rather, worship embodies itself in our interactions with people in the world and everyday life. Our pursuits of the lost, our commitment to live Sunday lives every day of the week. Fourth, we had witnessed the beginnings of a decentralized mission, a model where church leadership equips the body of Christ to manifest the power of an empty grave to a world in need. This idea had turned the typical conventional church model on its head. There's that shift from attractional, everyone come, to missional, everyone go. And number five, we had seen a church that knew it was broken, lived like it was broken, that responded to one another out of that brokenness. It was a church that believed in the changing power of Christ and knew the active participation in the kingdom was the only way to transform the world. This person goes on to say in the email sent to me, churches like this aren't non-existent, but in my corner of the world where we live, the idea of taking Jesus beyond the centralized gathering around the four walls on Sunday just hasn't arrived yet. It's not in our community. There are no churches that are missional. All the churches are attractional, is what this person's saying. And so here we are in our community where we live, holding our vision by ourselves like missionaries. Some might call it, person goes on, up a creek without a paddle. But I know that being ruined really means that throughout our lives we've been challenged, we've been loved, we've been called to be beacons of hope and life and light to those both inside and outside the church. And so we release them. Yes, you need to be involved where you live. There's just not many people around there that have that same passion and vision to go outside the four walls. And so when we as a church see pockets of missional activity geographically some distance away from where we're at today, we have some decisions to make. Do we say, yeah, we release all of you Grace Gathering families that are involved in that mission over there to start your own church so that that gathering can be more accessible to people where you're ministering to? Or do we say, you know what, maybe it would be helpful if we don't just start another church, but actually just extend our church there, have a gathering there, and still be one church. And this is the direction that we feel, and as the elders have been praying about this, about over the last year, because we've been seeing this missional activity in different places. And for example, up in the north, about 100 people from Grace, up north of DuPont and so forth, involved in mission and seeing some things really begin to emerge. What should we do about that missional activity up there? And so we've said, you know what, maybe it just makes sense to have another gathering there so that that could be another bonfire to light those torches in that area. Maybe there's another one later down the road in downtown, or maybe there's other places. When there's missional activity, we respond to the fruit. And so Aaron and Kara Fry, for example, I'm going to ask them to come up. Just going to share, they're a family that they live up on the north side of town as well. They've been involved in some of this missional activity. And I'm just going to ask them just a few questions that will help us just kind of understand what's taking place and all be on the same page with where God's leading Grace Gathering as we see this shift taking place as we respond to the mission activity that God is doing. So, Aaron and Kara, you guys have been a part of Grace for
12 years.
12 years, and Aaron's actually one of our elders. And how have you guys grown personally over the last, you know, few years and being a part of the church here?
Yeah, well, let me just start by saying about 6 years ago, we moved northwest into the DuPont area. And right away, Kara will speak to this in just a minute. She's an evangelist through and through. So right away, we began to try to infiltrate into the neighborhood and just do what we can. A lot of it was individually. It wasn't until about 2 years ago where Kara and I kind of came together and started ministering together as a couple. Personally, for me, about 2 years ago, I really sensed God was asking me to position myself to be able to lead better in the north. We were involved in starting a mission community and participating in another one, and you know, we just had some traction up north. But about 2 years ago, I specifically remember praying and sensing that God wanted me to free up. I'm an optometrist by trade, and I just sensed that He was asking me to scale back optometry to be able to have an open hand whatever God would have me do in the north. So exciting, humbling, nervousness, but we've tried to together pray through that and answer the call to what He would have for us. So I'll let Kara talk and answer that question now on her side.
Grace has just been amazing in spurring me on towards evangelism. Always been passionate about seeing souls come to Christ. I mean, how could you not be? And so Grace has spurred me on towards that and just really having a family and a life worth imitating. And I really hope I'm on my way to that.
So you guys, as you've been involved in developing mission and being involved in people's lives and neighbors and their school and so forth, have also started this monthly gathering up there to have access to a gathering at least once a month at this point. What was the purpose of that, and how is that going?
Yeah, well, we have three missional communities up north, two of which are very good size, and Kara and I are kind of launching a new one. And so we have some traction in the north, and some of the leaders up north just thought, well, we need to get everyone together. We need to converge all the people of the north together. And so that's what we did. A week ago, we got everyone together, and we're going to continue a monthly gathering, and we actually titled it or call it Converge. And so last week, we had our first one. We just came together for, you know, some worship and song, looking into God's Word, just sharing stories of victory, stories of failure, struggles, praying for one another. And then, of course, eating. We ate afterwards. And so we gather, we're going to gather once a month for Converge, just to offer an outlet for us to be able to gather. And we've, you know, not only these three missional communities have gathered, but we also have some outlying Grace Gathering families who are not in the missional communities, who are still serving as a family in the north. And then also we have families that we've been reaching out to who are interested in coming to Converge as well, even though we just meet once a month. And so we had probably three or four of those families come for our first Converge. We actually had just under 80 people come for our first gathering. There's a church up north that their pastor has just been a leader of peace in the north, and he's just opened up his church and allowed us to meet there for free. And so we did that a week ago Sunday and had just under 80 people there. So God's working up north. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
I felt like God, as we were praying about what we were to share this morning, something happened recently in our new neighborhood. We recently have downsized. We felt like God wanted us to do that as part of another part of the step. And so we downsized, and we were having a bonfire with some new neighbors recently. And I got distracted looking at you beautiful people over there. The youth of our church. I love them. Anyway, so we had this bonfire, and Aaron decided to let off some Chinese lanterns. Do you know those lanterns you see on Tangled or Rapunzel, and they go up higher and higher? And Aaron decided to light some that night, and I felt like God really spoke to me in that moment when they rose up higher. And I love lights. I love to light candles for our children and tell them, you know, kids, go to school. Let your light shine for Jesus. And they're probably tired of hearing it, right, Anna? But anyway, as these Chinese lanterns rose higher and higher, I felt like God was giving me a different meaning to the word light. And he said, Kara, you're a leader. I want you to be a leader, despite your insecurities or you feeling inadequate or not wanting to be more uncomfortable for me and wanting to just stay here all the time and not go out. Kara, I'm going to raise you up. And this... these lanterns went higher and higher, and it was obviously dark out because we could see the light. And he wants to send me out into this dark, dark world and shine for him. And it just kept raising and going higher, and we're leaders. And he wants me to go out whether or not I want to. He's sending me out, and he wants me to shine for him in this dark world.
Amen. And the last question. So as we see these pockets of missional activity around our city, and we're trying to respond to what God's doing, and so we see this growing pocket up in the north, you know, what we're praying about now is maybe a year from now we would start another location and a gathering up there. Maybe it's initially a Sunday night service or a Saturday night service. It's still one church. And how would that help having another bonfire up there to light the torches that are taking place?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important question. We, you know, all of us who are Grace Gathering families who are in the north, hopefully have an influence in their neighborhood, have an outreach strategy or influencing families around them. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's in their neighborhood, at schools. In having a location in the north as another tool in our toolbox, so to speak. Having a location in the north where we can gather is just another way that we can bring these families in to live life with them, to worship with them, to celebrate with them, to pray with them. We're still doing that. We're going into their homes. They're coming into our homes. We've gathered together as missional communities. Those are all great tools. But to have one more tool where we can be 5 minutes away from a weekly gathering and invite these people in, these families of peace that we feel like God is wanting us to reach. I mean, it just seems to make sense. And then for us Grace Gathering families, we would like to have a north location, a north site where we can come and get our torches, you know, fired back up again. It's a north bonfire, if you will, because we are at war up north and we are infiltrating the schools and in the neighborhoods. And so if we could have that for our Grace Gathering families to be trained to get sent back out after they get refueled and relit, that's two reasons, I think, why a north site, a north base would be really helpful and healthy.
One more thing. I've always loved Anna and her friends and my kids and their friends' families and our neighbors, people in our backyards. I've reached out to those people for years. And once Aaron felt like God wanted him to partner with me in this, things started to happen. When we're unified, when we're together, we're working together as a family, we feel God speaking more together through us. So now that he's unified us, I feel like he's going to be more glorified in us. So I praise him for that.
Amen. Well, thanks, Aaron and Kara. That's really helpful. Just so that you're aware, again, there's thousands of churches around the country that are trying to... Keith, if we could put that slide up from attraction to the first slide, attraction. There are thousands of churches around the country that are trying to make the shift from attraction to missional. It's very, very, very difficult. Here's what the conventional way of doing church is. Very, very difficult. So, for example, last 2 weeks ago, we had 20 churches in our building all week trying to learn how to move from this to the next slide, Keith, to that. We're on this journey ourselves. 3DM's an organization that's really helped us. We're now helping other churches. And what's happening is that this building here is being used not only as a beacon of light in this community, but actually a beacon of light to churches all over. I had so many people, leaders, come up to me 2 weeks ago from churches in Michigan, Ohio, and Illinois, and so forth, saying, this facility is so awesome. Thank you so much for hosting us. And so God's using this facility to be a blessing, not only here, but also abroad. We have abroad in our country. We have about 15, 20 people coming this week to come and hang out with our mission community, see what it looks like to actually do mission. And that last slide, once we start to see activity and increased activity, the previous slide of that, Keith, sorry. Yeah, that one. The question is, how can we have some other centralized gatherings all under one church that will make it more accessible the type of activity, missional activity taking place in those areas? And as we pray about this is, we're going to talk about this a little bit more next week, about what it would look like to do our first base site up north, perhaps a year from now, what that would look like, and just making sure that we're all on the same page and as we respond to what God's doing. It's all about responding to the way God's working and where he's working. And so let's just pray. If you just bow with me in prayer. The takeaway I want all of us just to sense this morning is that God has called you to be involved in his mission of being a light to the world. And as we connect with others in our church, and we're light to different parts, even of the city, we also want to recognize that the central gathering is also important. It's important for sustainability. It's important for accountability. It's important for celebration. And so as we move forward, what will this look like for Grace moving into the future? As we really sense that we're all missionaries, that we're not just trying to get people to a service and feel like that's the mission. It's actually being Jesus to people and helping them and loving them and sharing the gospel and seeing people healed and just seeing what you're doing in us throughout the week. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just show us as Grace Gathering what the future looks like. We want to respond to your Spirit. We don't want to have an idea of how things should be in the future. We want to see how you're doing things, and we want to respond. Thank you for this location and for all the transformation that continues to take place here. And thank you that now this location is being an opportunity and a beacon of hope for other churches. We aren't a perfect church. We have a lot of issues, failures, struggles. We aren't a perfect example of following you, but we are a living one. And we know that even churches need living examples they can follow, just like individuals need living examples of people they can follow. And so we're willing to do that. And we're willing to be used by you as we follow you and as we try to help others and even other churches follow you. And so I pray that this place here at Grace and even this location would continue to see more activity in the future as we bless your church and as we're used by you for your kingdom and your glory. We offer our lives and our families, our extended families, and our church to you for your kingdom glory. In Jesus' name, amen.